Welcome everyone to the West Prince Sports Review here on Planet FM. This show is brought to you by West Print. They're based at 9 Pereri Street in New Lynn. And their address and their contact number is 827-8531. And their email is westprint.co.nz. Okay, everyone, this is going to be a shortened show today. The reason's out of my control. So we were supposed to have on Noel Barclay and Sean Summerfield. Unfortunately, we've only got a half an hour. So I'm going to get on a person that's really been helpful for me this year, and that is the man, the legend, Mark Watson. Good afternoon, Mark.
Afternoon to you, Eamon. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
And Merry Christmas to you, Mark. And I really enjoyed you on last Sunday on SENZ. And it was really a great listen. And it was great to hear you back on here. Anyway, let's rip into it. Before we go through our thoughts of the sporting year, I just want to speak briefly on the Joseph Parker-Derek Chisora fight yesterday. I have to say that was the best display I've seen from Joseph Parker in about 2 to 3 years. Your thoughts?
I think it was the best fight of his career, full stop. I was a bit concerned when I saw him weighing in at 114 kilograms. I thought, how fit are you aerobically? You know, you're always going to give something up there a little bit. And, you know, in those latter rounds, both fighters, I think, were sort of out on their feet. But, you know, nice to see some power in the punching of Joseph Parker. Nice to see now that you do sense that he has the ability to knock an opponent out. And, okay, he didn't manage it yesterday, but I think everybody that watched Chisora will realise this guy is a very, very hard man to put down, that he does have a chin like granite, and I think the best heavyweights would struggle. Really good performance from Parker. Clearly just a different voice now in his camp. And sometimes that's it. And that's taking nothing away from the likes of Kevin Barry that have gone before. It's just a different environment, it's a different voice, and sometimes that is enough just to get a fighter or any athlete to sort of, I guess, refocus, different stimulation, then you suddenly do see an improvement. So, yeah, no, look, I think for probably the first time in a long time we can, you know, start to get excited about Joseph Parker and genuinely believe that, hey, if he can continue on this path of progression, that he does have a genuine shot at becoming, I think, a more legitimate heavyweight champion than perhaps what the WBO belt provided him.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you on that, Mark, because, you know, like, Mark, he's had a lot of his detractors, but I think what we saw from Parker was a complete boxing performance. And we saw the potential, which we've known for a long time. And he now is in that boxing mix towards a world title fight. I actually believe that he could really be a contender at the moment, because he is, there's whatever Anthony Lee, who's his trainer, has done, has basically made him a more aggressive, more technical fighter.
Yeah, I think we've seen with Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury can get hit. Tyson Fury can go down, you know. I mean, Tyson Fury's a tough man, but he's not the perfect fighter. We've seen him be knocked over a few times. And I think against Anthony Joshua, I think a different Joseph Parker, you know, needs to go in there and just needs to... He'll get some huge belief out of this, Joseph. He'll not be afraid now to get onto that front foot, to come forward. And that's huge. But I thought he conducted himself brilliantly. I thought both fighters conducted themselves brilliantly post-fight. Very hard to dislike Joseph Parker, isn't it? And I was having a bit of a laugh thinking, imagine Parker does take on Tyson Fury. Clearly very, very good mates and friends. Just how Tyson Fury might front the media on that one, because, you know, he's not afraid to sticking it to other fighters. But, boy, you very rarely hear people sort of bagging Joseph Parker. So... that in itself would be fascinating, how the pre-fight build-up would go with those two fighters if they were to meet each other at some point.
Oh, that'd be a hell of a fight. Believe me, it would be. You'd have to be. You'd obviously favour Fury through his experience, but you know, them two have formed a great relationship as boxers, and I believe that you know this being involved in that Fury camp has really improved Joseph Parker, and that's not distracting from Kevin Barry, his previous trainer. I just think he's got more of an edge.
Yeah, look, he's 29 years of age too. You know, you mature a lot. You're starting to come into your 30s now. He's starting to understand a bit more. He's, you know, his mindset will be different. He'll be starting to see things clearer. So, yeah, look, I think there is a lot to be excited about, whether we see a big opportunity for Parker in 222 or probably more 223. Look, heavyweight boxing's in a really, really good place, which we haven't been able to say for a long, long time, have we really? So, no, all good.
Okay, let's move on to some of our discussion points. Your sporting highlight of the year, Mark?
Look, probably from a personal point of view, Eamon, I was very privileged to be a commentator at the Olympic Games, and I was more by chance, I was given the men's high jump final at the Olympics to call, and that ended up being one of the great high jump finals in history with Basham of Bahrain and Tamberi of Italy sharing the gold medal. Now, it created a lot of discussion about whether it should be shared or not, but it's become one of the great Olympic moments. And I don't know, to be the official archive of that, in terms of the voice side of it, it's pretty special for me personally. I was also lucky enough, not that it was heard here, to, you know, to be there and win three gold medals that week. I think probably they would have to be the sporting highlights for me. I didn't really watch it, but Ajiz Patel's 10 wickets in innings clearly are one of the great moments in New Zealand sport. But I sometimes wonder whether moments like that, you need 10 or 15 years for people to truly appreciate that moment, where I think the Olympics, when you succeed at the Olympics, it's sort of almost automatic, isn't it, in terms of a great moment in New Zealand sport.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, I think in Olympic year, it's pretty hard. Hayden Wild bronze in the, you know, in the triathlon for a 24-year-old. I think his future looks good 3 years from now. No real rugby highlights, to be honest. I think really, really disappointing. Silver Ferns weren't much better, were they? Losing to England in the series. Yeah, so look, it's been a mixed bag. And also during COVID, things just seem a little bit disjointed at the moment. So, yeah, certainly Tokyo 2020.
Yeah. So we move on to your New Zealand sportsperson / team of the year.
Oh, I think your New Zealand sports person, without doubt, has to go to Carrington. You know, individual gold twice in a sport that is, you know, truly global. It's been at the Olympics since 1936, huge in Eastern Europe, like Hungary and those countries where it's almost a national sport. So, yeah, again, hard to look past her. Team of the year, look, I think the men's rowing eight, glamour gold medal. Glamour, blue ribbon event in rowing. It is the blue ribbon race outside of the single sculls. And I should also mention Emma Twigg, to be fair. Pretty amazing what she's done and just sticking at it and finally getting her prize. But I'd probably go with the men's eight, I think. You know, 1972 was a big moment. We won that. And we've been a long time in the wilderness. We've been very successful with the smaller boats. But to turn up to Tokyo and beat Great Britain with a huge amount of money pumped into their program and the Canadians and all the rest of it. Yeah, without doubt, I'll go back to the Olympics. I've been to four now and I understand the magnitude of them. And, you know, you can look at things like Rugby World Cup, Eamon, where you might get 100 media turning up, 10,000 at the Olympics. Puts it in context. They don't give a lot of medals out. So that'd be my team of the year and that would be my individual athlete of the year.
Your international sportsperson of the year?
Well, yeah, international sportsperson of the year. Yeah, fascinating one, that one, because, again, everything has been just so disjointed, hasn't it? We haven't really sort of seen the complete and utter domination. I mean, you know, you can look at Formula One between Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, but I didn't like the way they ended up finishing. So I sort of, you know, they're always in the mix, aren't they, Formula One drivers? Mm. Yeah, international sports person of the year. Yeah, I don't think there's anyone that stands out for me. You know, I think football's been, you've seen this sort of Messi sort of past his best, you've seen Cristiano Ronaldo past his best, you've seen the emergence of Mo Salah, but that English Premier League season is over. The Olympic Games, well, again, I think our athletes are as good as anyone globally. So I might ask you that question, Eamon. Who is your international sports person of the year?
Okay, you're going to be surprised here. I'm going to say Tom Brady.
Okay, yeah.
And the reason I say that...
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, NFL, 42 years of... Yeah, no, not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
The guy's got longevity. The guy's a class act. And whether people like Brady from his time at the New England Patriot, you know, you can't take it away. The guy is a brilliant player. And to think that this is a guy that should not even be playing NFL. To me, he's my international sports person of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not a bad choice. I guess the only area I have where I think, oh, it's a bit, you know, it's an American sport, but let's be honest, the Americans, you know, they've got a large population, and some population, it's still more global than, you know, sports like rugby and everything else, isn't it? And, you know, it is. It's very, very hard to make it. No, great choice, actually. I was just running through the NFL results this morning, actually, and, yeah, so I didn't really sort of put Brady in the mix, but no, well done.
Yeah, I might as well give you my sporting highlights would be the Olympics. And to me, the Olympics is the pinnacle of sports. And anyone can talk about a Rugby World Cup, Football World Cup, but the Olympics is the pinnacle. I don't care what anyone says. My New Zealand sports person of the year, definitely Lisa Carrington by a country mile.
Yep.
The men's rowing eight. And just, there's a couple of things I was quite impressed with was the likes of Emma Twigg and just some of the young sports people like Hayden Wild, some of our young cyclists coming through in the Olympics.
Yeah, oh, look, it's a hard sport, as I said, man. You know, a lot of these athletes do it for the love of it. Yes, they get paid. So they don't get paid a lot, and they only really start to get a little bit of money when they actually are winning rather than on the way up. And so, yeah, look, and I these sports are tough. You know, you look at what a rower endures, and that's why I always get a bit frustrated when I hear, you know, cricketers and rugby guys all talking about how tough their life is. Well, try rowing. Seriously, try rowing. See how brutal that sport is, man. So, excellent. Well done.
So we might as well come to the comeback of the year. What was the sporting comeback that really impressed you, whether it be an individual, a game, or anything that caught your eye during this year?
It's been that difficult year, hasn't it, really, that comeback athlete of the year. And I sort of sat down and thought about this one, and I thought, boy, what are those comeback stories? Yeah, I probably don't have one, Eamon. There's nobody that, I don't know, sort of stands out for me. But again, I'm going to throw this one over to you and perhaps you can enlighten me.
Okay, I'll give you some of my thoughts on the comeback of the year. One would be Emma Twigg. You know, 4 years ago was ready to quit the sport.
Yep.
Came back and really rode what would be considered the perfect regatta. Looked comfortable the whole time at the Olympics. The other one, which I'm going to bring out here, would have to be Dame Valerie Adam. And, you know, like, obviously the cancellation of the Olympics last year, moving it towards this year, gave her time to refocus. And while it may only be a bronze, that actually vindicated her as a great Olympian.
Yeah, I was actually lucky enough. I went along on that Sunday morning and actually watched her throw that with the two Chinese girls. And it was really, really hot in the stadium. I remember turning up actually at 9:30 in the morning over there, and it was about 38 degrees, and I think they were throwing about 10:15. So, Yeah, look, a wonderful legacy, isn't it? Two gold medals, a silver and a bronze at four Olympic Games, Commonwealth Games gold, three times Commonwealth Games champion, world champion. Yeah, I mean, you know, the CV is complete. She's a big meat competitor. It'll be interesting to see what she does in 2022, whether she decides that, hey, I'll go to one more Commonwealth Games and that'll be the swan song for me. And I think a lot of that will based on her young family, but also probably based a little bit around where she is commercially at the moment and whether it is in her best interest commercially to continue competing. And I can understand that if she is then starting to sort of stay in the sport a little bit more to cash in on it, she's entitled to do that, because as we've always alluded to, you know, those sports, it is very, very hard to make a living. It's easy to make a living if you're the top 100 metre runner in the world. It's a little bit tougher when you start to get into some of those less glamorous events in track and field, i.e. like shot put. So, well done. I mean, look, I think Tom Walsh is another one who had a lot of demons early in the year through lockdown. Probably not to the same degree, but we don't know, you know, we don't know the impact that those sorts of things have on individuals. And we can sit there and go, oh, what are you talking about? Tom didn't have any adversity. Well, unless you're Tom Walsh, you don't really know, do you? You know, so... like I say, it's just, I think just the last 2 years, it's just been really hard to get a measure on anything, with COVID and the way sports stopped and started. You know, I'd love to say Roger Federer was a comeback story. I'd love to say Andy Murray was a comeback story, but, you know, Andy Murray, great to have him back on court, but he hasn't really sort of, you know, gone on and won that big thing, has he? So, yeah, no, nice too that you've gone sort of the path of New Zealand athletes as well.
Yeah, I just feel it's important, Mark, because, you know, the Olympics brought out a lot of wonderful stories. And, you know, it wasn't only the Olympics, the Paralympics, some of the, you know, we see what people have gone through in this, in 2020 when we had a year disrupted by COVID. Unfortunately, I can see 2022 being a bit disrupted by COVID as well too. And it's not to put a downer on anything. I think we have to be realistic. But, you know, looking towards 2022 and looking what has happened in the sporting year, you know, the fantastic story of Emma Twiggs, the fantastic story of Belle Adams, Tom Walsh, who you brought up, some of our Paralympics who I think are just fantastic representatives of our country. You know, if you want to go through adversity, go what they've gone through. Go down from the bottom and come back from the top. And you know, because you were there in Japan for both those events.
Yeah, I know, look, Paralympics particularly, very inspirational. And, when you do read some of the stories behind the scenes, it is... It is very inspiring indeed. Interesting, there was a Brazilian athlete who ended up winning the canoe 1,000 metre race. You'll see at the Olympics we have the kayaking, which we do, and then there's the canoe side of the sport where they're kneeling with one paddle. And just trying to remember his name, actually. I called it, but this Brazilian, he'd been silver in Rio, actually, but at the age of three, they had a hot water poured all over him, which burnt him severely, and even to this day, you could see the burn marks across his face and stuff that had, you know, stuck with him from a young age. And then at the age of five in Brazil, he was kidnapped and put up for ransom, and his parents and the police managed to get him back, by the age of six. But, that you know, that's just the way crime and stuff works over there. And then later on, I think early in his teenage years, he was chased out of a tree by a snake and ended up losing a kidney. And here's this guy, man, you know, come from absolute adversity and wins 1,000 metres in one of the great performances, one of the great emotional races of the Olympics. And, a wonderful story. And I encourage people to, you know, sort of scour that race if you get a chance and sort of watch it and hear the story.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. You know, we when All Blacks and cricketers say that we miss our family, oh, we've got to stay in MIQ, you know, have a think about a person like that through the adversity.
I don't feel any sympathy for our All Blacks. I don't feel any sympathy really for our cricketers. I don't feel any sympathy for the Warriors when they're away and they're living in their hotels and they're getting paid what they get paid. Yes, it is tough, but it ain't as tough as what it should be. And, also just weigh up what is really, really tough. You know, a 26-year-old working two jobs a week earning $60,000 a year will look at a rugby league player who's earning $600,000 a year for playing 80 minutes a week and go, that's not fair. So let's just be careful how we define what fair and not fair is.
Yep, absolutely. I was just going to say, just when we, what are some of your hopes for 2022?
Oh, yeah, hopes for 2022. I guess we just want to see some consistency back in sport, don't we? We just want to see events happening. We want to see crowds back at games. I'd like to see the Blues kick on from what they did last year, only in a more sort of legitimate competition, and see if they really have progressed. And that'd be a nice start. I'd love to see Liverpool win the English Premier League. They gave up points this morning against Spurs, so they're handing it to Manchester City at the moment, but I'd love to see Liverpool win. I'd like to see Federer win another Grand Slam, and I'm big time for that. I'd like to see Lewis Hamilton go on and win the F1 and put Verstappen to bed. A little bit sort of single-minded in my approach in terms of what I want, a little bit selfish, but I'm entitled to that, aren't I? So, and maybe,
I suppose one of the hopes would be to get to Birmingham next year for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, not sure that's going to happen necessarily. Very hard. It's based over there. Everything these days is done by host broadcasters. It's not an easy thing to get these gigs. But, yeah, fingers crossed. We'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, like anything, you just want to, yeah, as long as you've got something to look forward to, aim on. Yeah, so, no, all good.
Yeah, I'll give you some of my hopes for 2022. I'm hoping for one thing, and I'm hoping that the All Whites qualify for the World Cup in Qatar. They've been given a bit of a hard road through this Oceania qualifying and have the potential of either playing Panama or Mexico in a one-off playoff game. I really would like to see them qualified for the simple reason. This side is a once-in-a-generation all-white side. And we have players that are based in Europe at quite a good standard. Also, Danny Hay had his detractors when he came into the job, but, you know, they're playing a good style of football, and it would be pleasing for him. Now, at the moment, Danny Hay is still overseas because he's still waiting for an MIQ spot, you know, and he sacrificed time with his family so he could do his job as a New Zealand football coach, and I think he should be applauded for it. I'll let you speak there, mate. Sorry.
Go for it.
Probably the other thing that I'd like to see is a year not interrupted by COVID. To be straight to the point, I just feel that this year could be a really tough year for people, not only in sport, but people generally in New Zealand. And we hope that, you know, that we don't have too many lockdowns, and we hope that we can get back to a sense of normality. That's my point.
I think everybody wants that, don't they? So, yeah, fingers crossed that can happen and some common sense does prevail. It'd be nice if Ian Foster got sacked next year, wouldn't it? That's just probably been a bit nasty and mean, but I don't really have a lot of time for him. It's good to say, you know, they're already starting to cover their backs by bringing Joe Schmidt in to try and tone the public down. I don't like these appointments that are sort of a little bit more political. In my sense, it's just a bit of PR. Schmidt, in his own right, deserves just to coach that side. So, look, hopefully he can make a difference, because I've got a sneaky feeling Ian Foster's not going anywhere. But just maybe they do start looking at, you know, some of the players they are picking. It'd be good to see Jack Goodwin back next year, wouldn't it? Just to bring some solidity into that midfield, and stop experimenting at 12 and 13, and just get some consistency back in this All Black side. I think there's a bit to look forward to. The great thing about sport, more than anything else, it does bring everyone together when it does go well. And the Commonwealth Games will provide that, even though, you know, it's nowhere near the depth of competition that, say, the Olympics is, but it clearly is a pinnacle event for like sports like netball and lawn bowls and those who don't get to go to the Olympics. But, yeah, but it certainly should give New Zealanders something to look forward to.
Absolutely, mate. Well, I just want to thank you for your contribution during the show. I'd also like to thank the people like Noel Barclay, the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield, Blue McLennan, AJ Wheaton, the people we've had over this past year, like Rod Davis for America's Cup, Glenn Turner on cricket, Craig Cummings on cricket. We've also had some great stories with Brett Sargon trying to qualify for an Olympics in curling. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way he wanted it to go, but it's good to introduce these smaller sports. Also, I just want to thank everyone at the station for all their efforts and trying to keep this show on the air. And another big plug is to our sponsors, Westprint. I would just like to say in many ways that next year is going to be, we don't know what's going to be happening. As the show goes, I hope to be on air next year. But as Joe Strummer from The Clash said, the future is unwritten. Thank you, everyone, for listening throughout the year. Have a great Christmas. I hope to be back live on air on the 3rd. And everyone have a great day. Okay, thanks, guys. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate. Well said.
Well said, and everyone have a great Christmas.